All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday. It's December 6th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings.com is the site. But you hate to type in all those keystrokes, so you type in DFSR.com/deals. It gets you that the podcast listener, that special listener-only deal for free for 7 days, $24.95 a month after that. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL, NBA, betting premium articles. We have some betting stuff going up for NBA as well. Premium articles for NFL coming toward the end of the week. It's all covered under one subscription package. You don't need to sign up for like the sport or provider or whoever wrote the content like some other sites do. If we offer it, you get it. DFSR.com/deals and you are good to go. Buddy, cash game article. We got a cash game article going up a little later this week, and I'm actually glad that we did because there's been a lot of news that's come down through the pipeline just over the last couple days. We're going to try to wade through some of that right now as we go through cash games for week 14, FanDuel and DraftKings. A lot of stuff to consider. I do think we're going to see a lot of chalk again like we did last week, but let's go through it, and let's start with quarterback. You know, we kind of sometimes split the positions here. You know, you kind of handle some more quarterback stuff. I do more running back and tight end. You do the receivers as well, which tends to make sense based on the way these guys just kind of earn their production. But you have Ben Roethlisberger at first against Oakland. James Conner's already been ruled out. This was the Conner news came after we had sort of like first started putting together some of this. Does Conner being out make you more bullish on Roethlisberger here or less? Like, what? How does the Conner injury? We'll get the running back situation there eventually, but how does the Conner situation just kind of inform your opinion of Roethlisberger, who we already liked?
Yeah, I don't know that it informs it all that much. I mean, we had already seen Pittsburgh using Conner sparingly in the last couple weeks, just because it had been working with Roethlisberger. He and Brown have been able to find a lot more efficient targets recently as well. So I think I just kind of already liked Ben, and Conner being there or not doesn't really affect my decision all too much, because I mean, Conner's been really good this season overall, but it's not like he's Le'Veon Bell or something where you can be sure it will make a huge difference that he won't be in there. I like Ben primarily just because it's the best possible matchup that you can get in for an NFL quarterback. I mean, I went through Oakland right now allowing 8.7 yards per attempt to opposing quarterbacks. Peyton Manning has one season where he was better than that. Tom Brady has never done it. Aaron Rodgers has one season. Like, 8.7 yards per attempt basically turns just the average person they've gone up against this season into like the best quarterback of all time on a career basis. So that is a really good spot for your opposing quarterback. So I think you just play Ben regardless. I think he's got enough tools here with Brown and Juju that you don't need to worry about who the running back is. I guess Conner being out probably sweetens the deal, but I just think you were going to play him anyway. So I'm just liking playing him across the board and perhaps even on both sides.
Yeah, this is a crazy... The pass attempts out of Roethlisberger this season are just insane. His median pass attempts are 45.5, and the average pass attempt per game is 43. They've had to throw the ball so much. I guess my thought was, if Conner's out, this is a team that already throws the ball a ton. I just can't imagine them throwing a lot less. Like, the Jalen Samuels-Stephen Ridley pairing is not exactly like this dynamic run game situation. Now, they've shown the ability, they beating the Steelers, have shown the ability to just kind of turn any running back into, you know, a fantasy viable one. And, you know, are they going to pound the ball 30 times this game on the ground? Maybe Oakland's just that bad. But if anything, I think Roethlisberger has a really, really high floor here with no Conner there. And if you want to ever know what running backs are worth in the NFL, the line dropped half a point when Conner was ruled out. So 31.75 implied points to 31.25, which is like the same as losing like your left tackle or something like that. It just doesn't, like, this doesn't really overall affect the implied line that the Steelers are getting. They have, I believe, the highest overall implied total. The Saints are just a tick higher. But you're getting Roethlisberger for just cheaper than a guy like Breeze at this point. So now I'm with you.
Yeah, and the running backs too, by the way, that they're bringing in, both of them are solid pass catchers. I mean, we saw Ridley early in his career being a really excellent ball catcher, and Jalen Samuels has been very effective for the Steelers in this role, kind of spelling James Conner as he's been dealing with this injury stuff. He has receiving touchdowns in two of the last three games in spite of not being the starter. So I think you could absolutely see Pittsburgh go even further in the direction of passing to the running back.
And I will make a note of this in the game by game breakdown podcast that we do tomorrow. But we have Breeze is in around the same price point as Roethlisberger. We have him projected for a lot lower. It's just a pass attempts thing at this point. Like the and we'll talk a little bit more about tomorrow. But the Saints just don't need to throw the ball nearly as much as you know the Steelers probably have to in terms of their overall offense. But after him, you have Jameis. Jameis was a very popular play last week in cash. I think probably up around 50% or higher, was good on these prices. He gets the Saints as an underdog here. How much, you know, if you get to pay down, he's about $1,000 less on FanDuel. I think $600 less on DraftKings, which I'll look right now. But you so you get a savings on Jameis over Roethlisberger. Yeah, Jameis is $600 less. Do you see the savings as worth it here? It stands to reason they're going to have to throw a lot. New Orleans had a decent defense this season. Give me the case for Jameis.
Yeah, I think the case for Jameis basically comes down to the fact that his price hasn't moved at all. He's been really, really good. I think you made this stat, which I appreciated, which is like basically if you combine the Tampa Bay quarterbacks over the course of the season, they've been one of the very best in the league. And if you think Jameis will be the only guy under center this week, like God willing, then I think you can imagine that he'll probably be pretty good. Last week, he was a 66% cash game play on FanDuel. He was excellent, 20 for 30 for 250 yards and two touchdowns. He also had 48 yards on the ground, which you like to see. And I frankly thought he had room for more. He had 18 fantasy points at halftime, and you know, it just kind of game went away from him a little bit in the second half. But I actually see the New Orleans defense as a totally fine matchup. On the season, they're only 0.3 yards per attempt better than Oakland, and these same Bucks completely eviscerated them through the air earlier this season. Granted, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he went out there and put up 417 yards and four touchdowns in just 28 attempts. So I think you'll see big-time cash game ownership on him once again.
After these two guys, is there another quarterback that's standing out to you? We always talk about this Thursday morning. It does seem to me like Roethlisberger and Jameis do sit a little bit above the next class of guys. Is there another quarterback that stands out to you here, really in any price tier? We are going to get some savings when we start talking about some of these other positions. Anyone else stand out to you for cash?
Yeah, I think you can go. I'm mostly heading over to DraftKings here, where the pricing, I think, is a little bit more spread out. And a couple guys that I'm looking pretty seriously at, and actually our system is too. The first one's Aaron Rodgers. So right now, Aaron Rodgers is 6,000 on DraftKings, which is much less than all the guys we've talked about so far. Well, much less than Ben, a few hundred less than Winston. And you brought this up, I think, on the recap podcast, but with McCarthy out of the picture, you speculated that we could see Rodgers just unleashed in a sort of a different way, and particularly in terms of throwing the ball more downfield. If you're a believer in that, or anyone's a believer in that, I think Rodgers, maybe it's just a big tournament play, but I think that he's certainly viable. And then you can go even cheaper from there. Carson Wentz, this guy's 5,400 on DraftKings. And we were playing him at like 8,000 on FanDuel. Many people were earlier this season. Right now, he's looking pretty in sync with both Tate and Ertz. And of course, Alshon Jeffrey's still lurking there as well. So I don't think, again, you're not going to touch him at 7,300 on FanDuel. You'll probably just go up the next 400 for Jameis. And Vegas doesn't necessarily love the total here, but 5,400 on DraftKings is the price point to where you're starting to really need to think about it, because very, very often on DraftKings, and you know, this week might be somewhat of an exception just because there's so many good value plays elsewhere, but very often you're sitting there and you're like, oh, if I could just have, like, not have to play the very worst defense, like not have to play Oakland against Pittsburgh or something. This week, Wentz is the exact guy who makes it so you don't have to consider anything like that. So yeah, I nodded to him as well.
You know, it's funny about Wentz. He has the one terrible game against New Orleans of all teams, 3.84 DraftKings points, right? But other than that, his game log, 20. I'm going to round up. 24, 13, he has that four-point game in there. 25, 25, 23, 24, 25, 24. The guy's been, like, almost, except for those two, he had two, like, kind of stinkers in there between the Giants and the Saints.
Yeah, and they're back-to-back, and that really winds up having an undue effect on the price. I mean, I think I think he's solid. I don't know. I think he's just a kind of a good quarterback. And having one bad week shouldn't indict you for all time or make your price come down by 1,000. So
last time versus Dallas, 32 for 44, 360 yards, two touchdowns, also 62. Oh, no, excuse me. I was looking at the snaps, not the rushing yards. 7 yards on the ground. So
looking it up. I know you're just reading it out of my cash game article, but that's fine.
I would never read that. All right. I would never read the things you read. So other than to edit them. Let's go on to running back. Let's get on to running back. I started off with Zeke. He seems, with the other value that you're going to get at this position and some wide receiver stuff that we're going to talk about, Zeke to me feels like a complete almost a total lock at the position at this point. Like, you're not getting Gurley on the slate because he plays Monday night. Obviously, there's been the Kareem Hunt is gone. And in terms of the other big running backs, you get McCaffrey with a rougher, just kind of a rougher matchup against Cleveland. He's also 700 more than Zeke on DraftKings. And I think they're around the same price on FanDuel. Elliott is the highest overall touch per game running back in the league. He's more than Gurley now. They just give him the ball a ton. He's 300 less than McCaffrey. I don't want to say we're buying at value, but Elliott under 9,000 on both these sites feels, in a game where they're home favorites against Philly, does this feel like a lock to you? Because it's really, in terms of overall floor on a guy, I can't see any other running back that has a higher just fantasy floor than he does at this point.
Yeah, so the interesting tension this week is actually going to be between which punts you wind up choosing and what positions they play and who you're actually going to take as your payoffs. And as I look at the list of punt running backs and punt wide receivers, and then the list of big payoff wide receivers and big payoff running backs, I tend to think Elliott's the best across both of those positions. You know, some of the big payoff guys at wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown, these guys are excellent, but they definitely have their question marks too. And I think Elliott of that group, I'm not even comparing Elliott to the other running backs at this point, because I just think, and I'm sure you'll get to these guys in a second, but I do think there's some pretty excellent running back value that we can't ignore. But at some point, you just have to bite the bullet. Like, you don't get any bonus points for spending $9,000 less than your overall salary, right? So you just got to play someone. And as I compare Elliott to the big money payoffs, he's the easy best one for me.
Yeah, he's averaging something like 23.5 touches a game. That's rushes plus targets. Again, that's higher than Gurley. Those two guys, by the way, sit in their complete and own tier. There's really, unless you want to translate some of McCaffrey's recent usage, like, you think that's the new reality for him, I guess.
Yeah, and possibly, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, I think he enters that tier as well. And there's really nobody else in it, especially with Connor out. And he kind of totally wasn't there anyway. Now, after Elliott, we do have some interesting / sort of questionable, I'm wondering to get your take on. I have a group of cheaper running backs, and they all seem good on paper and also all have their question marks. I'll start with Spencer Ware, though. Spencer Ware was the overwhelming chalk going into last week, something like 80 to 90% owned. Really, let's just round it up to 90% owned on both sites in cash games. Obvious that he's getting the spot start for Kareem Hunt. Took a majority of the snaps, was not very good, gets a worse matchup this week against Baltimore. The price, though, on FanDuel, he's 6,400, so that we would call that strictly in the middle tier. And then on DraftKings, I think he's like in the 5,000s, low 5,000s, which again is like lower middle tier. Can we go back to Spencer Ware again? They are favorites against Baltimore, but again, it's a worse matchup. How concerned are you with the performance from last week, and how willing would you be to go back to him this week?
Yeah, sorry, I was looking up something real quick. I had heard some murmurings that the Chiefs were potentially... Yeah, so they signed Charcandrick West.
Yep.
That is a little bit concerning to me. We've seen the Chiefs use Charcandrick West in the past to, be basically in a role just like this. The fact that they gave Damian Williams 5 carries last week, a little bit concerning to me as well. I think you're going to need to monitor this. And normally we're saying this on Tuesday, but I think you want some more explicit language around what Ware's role is going to be, because really last week... That was honestly the week where they really should have run the ball a ton, right? Like, they were up 10 after the first quarter, and they just stuck with Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes himself had 9 carries. So I think they want to probably protect their investment on Mahomes a little bit more. But you would have thought last week that it would have been the week for Ware to touch the ball a ton if he was going to ever touch the ball a ton. And the fact that he didn't certainly scares me. So, yeah, I can't say that I'm over the moon on Ware at this point, even if... if he winds up making the money work, then I wind up playing Ware. But I can't say I'm nearly as excited about it as I was going into last Sunday.
Yeah, I have the same concerns. I have the similar concerns about all the guys that we're about to say in this like sort of lower tier. I think that the plan is still to give him a majority of the carries. I'm with you on the West signing, and he actually probably knows the offense well, because he's been just kind of, I feel like that guy's been the backup running back in that team for the last 15 years or something like that. I know that's not the case, but I feel like Charcandrick West has been a guy that's been around forever, just sitting around Kansas City waiting for the phone call. But you also have a bad matchup against Baltimore, who's 5th overall in rushing defense, and a team now that runs the ball so much. And I'm only saying that from a volume perspective, that just if you're going to run the ball a lot as a team, that's just going to whittle down the clock. There's just enough concerns here that I'm not over the moon about it. I'm wondering your thoughts here, though, on a guy that I'm sure no one had heard of before 2 weeks ago, and that's Jeffrey Wilson for the 49ers. He got his first playing time 2 weeks ago, and with something like 9 carries. spelling Matthew Breida at times. Last game, Matthew Breida played, but supposedly got hurt during pregame warmups and is now going to be out this game. Wilson touched the ball a ton. He touched the ball, I think, 24 total times, 15 carries and 9 targets. I'll look that back up real quick while I type this in. He's coming about as cheap as it gets on DraftKings, and he's in the lower middle tier. They are underdogs, though, to the Seahawks right now. What are your thoughts on Wilson as a possible punt, knowing that he could just also be just the man in San Francisco because they're on like their fourth running back at this point?
Yeah, so actually I think Wilson might be my favorite of this group. He right now has... I can't look in our system, but the big thing I love about him, frankly, is just the 9 targets from last week. That
yes.
really indicates to me that he is going to be a guy who is going to see the ball almost regardless of the game script. And so, you know, they did that against Seattle coming into playing Denver this week. It's a home game. So, you know, if you want to move the needle in his favor at all for that, go ahead. But, you know, with both Eckler and Ware really struggling, I mean, at least Eckler also saw the passing game opportunity. But I think if I had to rank these guys, I would probably go Wilson just because he got the carries and the targets, then Eckler because he also got the targets. So we know that, and we've just seen that out of him in the past. And then I might go Ware in the last group. I think there's real legitimate concern that Ware is in the biggest timeshare. I mean, I guess with Eckler, you get Jackson too. So I think the least concern about timeshare is Wilson, then Eckler, then Ware. But I think he is my favorite of the group.
Yeah, so there's different factors that are weighing, at least in our system, on all these guys, right? So with the Ware and Eckler piece, and we'll get to him 1 second. The Ware and Eckler piece, you're getting big home fit. You're getting big favorites, and that helps running backs, right? So like in those guys' case, you're getting a boost from that stat specifically. And just moderate touches. And then with Wilson, he's an underdog. But again, I'm with you that if he's going to see 9 targets in the passing game, and that's going to be their plan, especially if they're playing from behind, then you're not as concerned with the overall playing time from Wilson. And then, yeah, because like Eckler was the same way. Eckler touched the ball a ton. He was awful also. Now, Melvin Gordon is still questionable. I don't think he's going to play this week. But we did see Justin Jackson get carries last week, and he was very good on them. So this is always my concern. When you have the backups that are just good on their carries, specifically Jackson at this point, Eckler, the every down back was not his role, even though that kind of had been how Gordon had kind of attacked things. So, I guess you already summed up your thoughts on Eckler. I think this is going to be our single biggest, most problematic decision going into this week, is that how much do we trust these middle tier guys who were fairly popular plays last week, are in good situations, but there's just questions around context.
And yeah, where was a 90% start? I think when it comes to Ware, though, I think you'd be doing yourself a real disservice if you projected any more touches than he had last week, because you legitimately could have not gotten a better game script for him. And I think that should have led to the opportunity that we were all looking for. He's still fairly cheap, so maybe he still gets there on 15, 16 touches, something like that. But I don't think you want to extend much beyond that. Eckler, I think maybe you give him a little bit more of a pass just because Pittsburgh was up by so much that they didn't really need to. Or, like, they couldn't really establish the run quite as well, probably, but... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're just making excuses for Eckler at that point, because Justin Jackson certainly didn't seem to have too much of a problem.
That's what I mean. So, and like, I get so worried when these sort of backup guys, this is exactly how you enter a timeshare, right? Like you enter a timeshare.
You get 1 yard a carry and your backup gets 8 or whatever.
So. Like what would be, I mean, and obviously Eckler, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. This is a guy they've seen as like a sort of a change of pace guy in the past. I don't know. This has been kind of sticking in my craw all week. I suspect it's going to be what's probably troubling in the fantasy sense of the world, trying to figure out. All right. And then the Ridley Samuels thing, I think it's probably too speculative. And I do think there's probably big upside on one of those guys if they just end up not splitting carries and the one just becomes the guy. Like Samuels comes out, averages 4.5 yards a carry, catches some balls early in the game, and he just gets all the carries. I think he has huge upside, but with Ridley around, you can't trust it. Let's get to wide receivers here. I think this is probably, considering we've talked about a lot of cheaper running backs, do you see this as a week where we probably can spend up for at least one big-time wide receiver? And we'll get to some injury piece in a second. But in terms of the top-end wide receivers, I see there being 4 guys, and I'm going to have trouble choosing between them. And I'm saying Brown, Hill, Adams, and Keenan Allen. Where do you see them, if you want to rank them, or do you have a guy that maybe stands out to you among that group?
Yeah, I like Antonio Brown the best. I think, I don't know if that's overly nostalgic or something like that, but Brown now back-to-back weeks, basically just looking like the old Antonio Brown, catching 19 to 26 balls during that time. And the big concern on Brown this season wasn't really the opportunity, it was the conversion. Because right now, he's also only one target behind Thielen for the league lead. And, you know, we've seen Thielen kind of fall off a little bit. So in a matchup like this in the past, you would have had to pay, I don't know, $600-$700 more for Antonio Brown. And the fact that you're getting him off of peak prices in the best matchup for an opposing wide receiver, basically since we started this business, and in a spot where James Conner is missing, I just have to think that he is going to be such a huge part of the offense here. And I mean, you could, the emergence of Juju, I guess, scares you just a little bit, but I think the plan in Pittsburgh is just going to be to pass on every down, and I think he'll be the most prominently featured. And I don't know, as you're going down the rest of the list, it probably just behooves us to, you know, point out that all the big name wide receivers this week are going to have some question marks. You know, Hill is just coming off a truly terrible performance. Yep. And, you know, in what should have been a great matchup, right? He was in this exact matchup last week, and he had six targets and caught one of them, and he had like a carry for 30 yards, and that was it. And so I think personally it would be crazy to project Hill for a better game than Brown, given that we know Hill has that game in him. I think, you know, with Travis Kelce being there, Mahomes just being good at carrying the ball, and Mahomes just also still, for as great as Mahomes has been, the completion percentage is still kind of a problem for him. I think when you're juxtaposing those two in particular, I'll take Brown every day.
And then where do you rank, you know, Keenan Allen as opposed to Tyreek Hill? Allen is coming a little bit cheaper than all. He's coming significantly cheaper than Antonio Brown, $1,000 less. He's coming, I'm talking FanDuel here, about $300 less. He's coming off a massive target game. Did you think that the lack of, and we nodded to this in the last podcast, but the lack of Melvin Gordon on the field just contributes to the Keenan Allen being, you know, passes the new run sort of thing? Like, again, he had an unbelievably just a fantastic matchup with the Steelers, the way the Steelers were trying to quote unquote cover him with linebackers last week. So I don't think you're going to stand to see the same thing, but Cincinnati sucks too. So where do you rank Allen, knowing that he's coming a little bit cheaper, possibly could be in the same target share class?
Yeah, I love Allen this week. I think, you know, what I'm really seeing from the Chargers right now is that they're willing to play matchups. Obviously, the Steelers punted the whole game by trying to have a linebacker cover Allen. I don't think Cincinnati will make that same mistakes. But when I was writing up this article, I had my stats guy look up who's going to be... Why are you laughing?
Because you had me look it up.
Yeah, you're my stat guy. I had my stat guy look up... You can out yourself as my stat guy if you like. What the cornerback situation looked like there. And Darquez Dennard is the lowest ranked slot cornerback in all of the NFL by the Pro Football Focus this season. So I think, given that we know that the Chargers are happy to try and abuse a great matchup, I would imagine that that's the plan going into this game. And Allen has been a guy that our system has always dreamed on as being a potential $8,500 plus receiver. I think you're still getting him very cheap. And especially with just how terrible the running game looked in LA last week, I would be shocked to... Like, maybe they'll give the running backs a token opportunity, but I would be really, really surprised if Allen weren't really prominently featured here.
Yep, and then the last piece, this is just an injury news piece, Emmanuel Sanders, he tore his Achilles in Wednesday's practice and is just not going to be out for the year. Brutal, too. The only thing I get so sad about that, he was in a contract year, too, and was having a pretty good season. and then it's just like the absolute worst injury you can basically have as a person who plays sports is to bust open your Achilles. But he is going to be out now. They did not throw to any of the receivers except for Cortland Sutton. And I'm talking tight ends, too. This team doesn't throw to anybody except for Sanders. And they, you know, a little bit to the tight end here and there. But basically, it's been Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders. How much of the target share do we want to translate back into Sutton? I don't think you can trust the other guys, like the Tim Patricks and the Sean Hamiltons. I would need to see at least a week out of that. But is it just saying, are we just looking at Cortland Sutton at 5,600 and 4,500 respectively, FanDuel and DraftKings, and saying, hey, look, even like 8.5 targets, even if they're of lesser quality, this seems like a lock. Where do you stand on Sutton now on this sort of breaking news?
Yeah, so I think there's actually a couple different good options at that low-tier wide receiver, and that only enables payoffs even further. I think Sutton is a good play. I think he was always kind of lurking. I think we even played him 1 week, or he was really on the... He was either in our top overall lineup or the...
Yeah, it was the week. It was the week after the trade deadline when they traded away Demaryius Thomas.
But last week, yeah, goes out there, gets seven targets. We talked about Cincinnati being a pretty good matchup, but I think there's no reason to believe that he'll come in here against San Francisco and be any worse. I also think the major piece of news I'm monitoring in the cheap wide receiver realm is also DeSean Jackson. He wasn't catching balls at Wednesday's practice, so thank God we're recording this on Thursday once again. But he wasn't catching balls, and there's murmurs that they might shut him down for the whole season. If that happens, Godwin's still 5,600 on FanDuel, was I think a 54% start or something like that, and was quite good. I think you could see that duo of Sutton and Godwin chewing up a lot of wide receiver ownership.
Yep, I agree with you. And then let's finish it off with tight ends. I think there's going to be enough savings here between the running back and maybe some cheap wide receivers that it's going to make sense to not punt tight ends this week. There are...
Ew.
There's, I know, but there's four guys. There's four guys who basically among this group have established themselves as good wide receiver 2/wide receiver 1 target share guys that are just coming much cheaper than the actual wide receivers. The first is Kelce. Kelce has... This is a crazy stat. Kelce has the most tight end targets over the last 3 weeks, even though he's only played 2 games. Everyone else has played 3 games. He's played 2 games, and he has four more targets than the next closest guy. That is just completely and utterly nuts, the amount of target share. This guy is getting top-end wide receiver 1 targets, and he's coming just cheaper than the Antonio Browns and Keenan Allens of the world. Can you see a case, knowing that's the case, knowing that there's probably no Sammy Watkins again, his production has been great with or without Watkins. You saw them have some trouble with the run game last week. I mean, where do you would you feel comfortable if we saw Kelce in as a, in like a top overall lineup as a big time tight end play? We never almost never do this, and I think this might be a week where it happens.
Not really, to be honest with you. I think at 8,000, you compared him to the big name wide receivers of the world. The fantasy production just isn't in line with those guys. You know, he's got 16? Yeah, 16.6. fantasy points a game on the season. If you compare him to any of the big wide receivers, you know, Hill 19, Adams 18, Brown 18, like he's just not as good as those guys in terms of fantasy production. He's been more on the order. Yeah, I guess he's been there with Odell Beckham Jr. And the price range is similar there, but I don't see him as a value at all. I think he's just a guy. And if he's the best guy at the position, then that's fine. Like, you know, there's a scenario where I would play Odell Beckham Jr. at 8,000 this week. But I would just have to, again, compare him against the other options. And I'm not so convinced that on a week-to-week basis, like, is he that much better than Eric Ebron? Ebron went out there and had 16 targets last week. Like, are we with a gun to your head? And Ebron also, 29.2 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. Understanding Kelsey's been much better than that. But are we, like, that certain that Kelce is $1,600 better than Eric Ebron? Because I'm definitely not.
Yeah, it's close for me. I mean, the fantasy totals over the last 3 of the last 4 weeks that he's played are just like, it's like 42, 30 of 16 and 30 again. Like, or I was looking at it and I just closed it. It was something like that. I actually probably like it more on DraftKings where he is 6,700. And that's, if you're looking at the wide receiver tiers, you're putting Kelce in the tiers of like Kenny Galladay, T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Boyd, guys like this, Amari Cooper.
I'm definitely listening if he's in that group. Sure, he's better.
And that's so that so yeah. So let's just make it site specific then. So that's a draft. So it would seem like he'd be more of a DraftKings play than a FanDuel play at 6,700. I'm with you on Ebron. He's another guy I wrote up, and we'll finish it off here because we have to get out of here. But I did write up Ebron and Kittle. Ebron, you simply can't ignore 16 targets in a game where they got shut out by the Jags. So I know they had to pass like near the end of the game. Didn't turn it into a crazy awesome, like you would expect, fantasy performance on 16 targets, but this guy is like
fourth, yeah, he's their short yardage receiver. That's
he's
it.
Fourth overall in tight end targets in the season, and he basically was out snapped by yeah. Doyle 2-1 in every game that Doyle snapped, or that yeah. every game that Doyle played. So I don't think there's any reason to give him any kind of dump down on any fantasy production. And if anything, you're buoyed by the fact that he saw so many targets week after week. And then Kittle's another guy. Kittle's seen 10 or more. He's averaging 11 targets a game since Nick Mullins took over at quarterback. It has not turned into touchdowns, and that's probably always going to be a concern with the San Francisco offense, just because
yeah, when you have a bad quarterback, you don't get a lot of touchdowns.
you don't. But it's also kept his price like in check for what he like right. that he's 50. So he's the cheapest of the group. He's cheaper than Ebron. I'd probably rather play Ebron for 2,000 more on DraftKings. But he's 1,200 less than Kelce, 900 less than Ertz. The targets are there. You can't call it running bad on touchdowns because, again, San Francisco is just not going to find themselves as close to the end zone as much as Kelce and Ebron and these other teams. But I do think the target share for him is real. He's clearly the number one receiver, and they're still struggling with injury concerns in the wide receiver core. Yeah, only 13, 12, and 17 points over the last couple weeks, or the last 3 weeks for Kittle. But I still sure. do like him at the price point. All right, we'll go through some defenses tomorrow because we have to bust out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals will get you started. We'll be back again tomorrow with a game-by-game breakdown where we will walk through all the games on the main slate, talk about a bunch of guys that I think are still worth considering here that just maybe don't fall totally into the cash game play but definitely have some GPP upside. Buddy, talk to you tomorrow when we break down every game.
See ya. All right, goodbye.